Thanks, Pauline. Really difficult passage and really complicated, but very profound. So you may have been to some kind of event, maybe a classical concert or a rock concert, maybe a musical theatre production, a sports match or something. But one that has like stayed with you, has really been like a lasting memory to you. I can look back on several. The performance of Aida at the English National Opera was one of my young highlights. Bruce Springsteen at Wembley Arena was, he just played and played and played. It was astonishing. Even Bristol City scoring two last-minute goals against Millwall to beat them in an evening match. And maybe watching Billy Elliot as well, which is just a very powerful musical. And I'm sure that all of you can give examples from your lives, just times that you went maybe expecting the very best and got the best, other times when you were expecting very little but got an enormous amount. Our hearts and lives are enhanced by wonder, just that heart lift, that sense of being one with other people, one with the kind of the universe, I suppose they would call it nowadays. So first slide, please. So today we're talking about Christ being the all-sufficient and our call, because Christ is all-sufficient, to live free. So this is a passage of astonishingly power. What I tend to do in preparation for sermons is read the passage aloud to myself. And this really kind of moved me when I was reading it, because it has such enormous kind of depth to it. And this is the very last in our series on Who is Jesus? The very crescendo of our series, who he is, what his character is. But today I'd especially would like to focus on what is at the heart of Jesus, the love of God, love for others and from them, and love for all creation. So how is it that we can love, and what gives us the energy to love, and why should we? It can be so frustrating and exhausting when people that you love don't really love you back. I've taken three funerals in the last 2 weeks, and they've been varying funerals. They all went well, and thank you for your prayers. But people of vague faith, vague Christian faith, to somebody with absolutely rock-solid faith. And I just think that the idea that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life is the very bedrock of life. If we haven't got that in our lives, then we are on unsure foundations. And when it comes to our passing into the next life, we need to be assured, we need to be certain that what we're going to is somewhere far glorious. Sometimes life is like a load of leads. I don't know if you've got it, but I've got a bag of leads at home and it's hidden away. But sometimes when I need a spare lead, perhaps for a laptop or whatever, I get this bag of leads out and I try to unjumble it to kind of get a lead that I need, which eventually I do. But no matter how regularly I put it back and it's all sorted, when I pull it out again, it's all back to being disorganized. And it just seems sometimes that life is like that. You get one thing sorted out and then three other things come along, and they just kind of continue to overwhelm you and bring you down. And I think that Paul's passage here today is more like a climb up a mountain, when you get the clear air, you get the beautiful view, and you just get that sense of majesty and power and dominance, and the fact that you are a very essential but small part in all creation. We get a sense, don't we, that Paul was on a mountaintop taking in the grand panorama of Christ. So I think as believers, one of the things that we say is we view Christ for what he did for us. We read about his ministry, as to how he helped people, and then of his death and resurrection. And quite rightly, we take this for ourselves and praise God for it. But that is not the reason, the whole reason why Christ came. And Paul says that here. Christ, the beginning and end of all creation, God chose to create through Christ and for him. So what does Paul tell us here about the one that we worship? We sing our songs to Jesus, the one that we have a living, saving relationship one with, the one who has poured out his love on us so that we always know that we are loved. Isn't that amazing? I speak to people who are really struggling in life and they haven't got that bedrock, that certainty, that assurance that God loves them. Not only that, but he gives us the love to be able to love others. Do you sometimes feel that your heart is aching with love for others? Do you occasionally feel that you're being poured out as you support your neighbours, your friends, members of your family? So there's eight things about Jesus that Paul talks about here. And we'll go through them fairly quickly, so don't panic. First of all, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And I think Pauline's version said, it was Jesus, the version that Pauline read was, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So if we want to know what God's like, and lots of people on the video that we spoke of earlier, they had opinions, didn't they? They had ideas about God and about Jesus. And there's an endless search for God. Well, we can't see God because he's invisible, but we know and we can see Jesus through the Bible. So there are inferior and almost perfect reproductions. I don't know if you've, at times, one of the churches in my old town of Bradford and Avon, they had a couple of paintings on their wall that were quite ancient. It was the parish church, and so they got an expert in, and he said, the very beautiful one, he said, well, that's not really worth very much. And then he looked at one which looked like a great big smudge, and he said, that is by a famous artist, and you need to get that valued. And they eventually sold it for 1.2 million. And so that is the reality. That is not a reproduction. That they've now got a reproduction hanging on the wall. But this wasn't the reproduction. This was the original. So there are inferior and almost perfect reproductions. And then there are truly perfect images. And Jesus is this, the original, the unique one. This doesn't mean to say that if you manage to find an accurate first century drawing of Jesus, that you would then know what God looks like. But you know from the Bible, you can get to know Jesus, you can get to know his character. I was talking quite a while ago to somebody who lives in Cornwall and runs a B&B there, and she had a regular visitor, and it was an elderly man, and he arranged to meet his sister, who he hadn't seen for 70 years, at the bed and breakfast. When they got together, there was differences, obviously, but there were so many similarities physically. Not seen each other for 70 years, had similar mannerisms, similar aspects to their character. So what Paul is reminding his readers is that if you want to know God, know Jesus. He's not a step along the way. He is the way. He is truly God. John 1 says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So we know who God is through Jesus, the one and only Son. And then secondly, he is the firstborn of all creation. Now, this doesn't mean that at the creation of the world, the Son was the first to be created. We know that before the creation of the world, Jesus Christ already was. What it means that he has all the privileges and superiority of the firstborn. Psalm 89 says, he will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Saviour, and I will appoint him to be my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. So we have, as we talked about a few weeks ago, the Trinity. God is one, but there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. Thirdly, Jesus is unique. There's no one else, no one superior. I sometimes talk to people who are trying to find other paths to God other than Jesus. And yeah, you can go a long way with going down other paths, but really, the easiest, the best, and the only real path is to go through Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, all fullness dwells. Jesus is God, a member of the divine Trinity. equal with the Father, and he makes himself available to us. It's so easy to talk to Jesus, and he's always there, as that one guy said on the video, whenever I need him, he is there to speak to. Number four, that great mystery, Jesus fully God and fully human. We have that great passage in Philippians where Paul speaks of Jesus emptying himself before he came to be born as a baby. So Jesus didn't give up his deity, he laid aside his glory and submitted to the humiliation of becoming a man, even a baby in a really deprived situation. Jesus became vulnerable for us. Jesus' words to his Father in John 17, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus was no phantom, no God wrapped up as a human, not even a superhero in human clothing. I know back in the medieval times there would be kings that would disguise themselves as peasants to go out and try to find out what people were saying about them. Well, this isn't Jesus. He was fully human, not a Superman wrapped up as an ordinary person. Jesus walked. He got hungry. He got tired. He got thirsty. He got angry. He got frustrated. And he knew friendships. He knew the value of friendships. Even as a baby, he was dependent on his parents. Such is the wonder. Don't take anything away from the fact that Jesus was fully human. This is a real plus. In Jesus, we not only discover who God is, but who we should be. That is our life, to be more like Jesus, to be more like our true selves. Jesus saves. Salvation is more than just knowledge. It is redemption, forgiveness of sins. I might have told you before, but many years ago, maybe from here, Fee and I went to see a man, an actor, and he at the theatre, and he acted out the whole of Matthew, and he recited it all by heart. So he knew the 28 chapters of Matthew, completely recited it with actions and everything. And I read a sort of interview with him afterwards, and he said, "Well, it means nothing to me. It's just like reciting Shakespeare. It doesn't mean anything. It hasn't changed my life whatsoever." So it's not so much knowledge of the Bible. Reading your Bible is a great thing. But we read, we study, and we seek to know more about Jesus in order to bless ourselves and in order to help others. We're, in a sense, I see myself, and I think I see you too, as doctors. We study the Bible, we know about Jesus' love, we experience Jesus' love, so that when people come to us in great need, we can point them, we can help them towards the greatest satisfaction there is in life. What if someone had studied for a medical degree and then decided not to use that to help anyone? So what we learn, the spiritual understanding from knowing God that we have, is all to be made available for others. Salvation is for everyone. Jesus came to save the world. Didn't just came to save a small group of people. He had limitless ambitions. God has limitless ambitions for this world. He is the reason for everything. I think I might have gone on. Yeah. He is the reason for everything. So all that we do, the way that we live, is all to be focused towards Jesus. I went to a school, Isleworth Grammar School, when I was young, and I recently discovered that another famous person went there just a few years after me, and that was Mo Farah. And he went there, and he obviously got through Isleworth Grammar, and he came out, and he became very famous. Now, you might have somebody who was perhaps a friend of yours who suddenly gets revealed as being maybe a king or a prince in a foreign country, and you think, "Oh, I know him just as John or Kathy or whatever." But here he is. He's just a completely different person than I expected. He's got a majesty that I didn't realise. Well, that's very similar for us We know Jesus as a friend, but we also know him as Saviour, Master, Creator of the universe. All things have been created by him and for him. And then he is the head of the church. He has given us the great privilege of being the body, but without a head, the body is useless. We come together, we have great community, we are friends. It's great to see so many different ages here, but we are centrally coming here to worship God, to say that he is the one for us. Worship him with our words and lives so that we can be effective as Christians. And then God, as Pauline read, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. When you have seen and known Jesus, you know God in his fullness. And God was pleased that he could do that. When God created, he was pleased with what he saw, and God was pleased with his Son. That is why he entrusted him to be fully God and fully human. This is all God's initiative. Let me remind you, none of ours. The reconciliation that came through Christ's death on the cross then becomes more powerful. He died for us even when we were his enemies, even when we wanted nothing to do with him. The turning point of all history, not just human history, but all creation history. So Jesus is the beginning of creation and the end of creation. He is the power who holds all creation together, the sustainer, the final goal of the world. He is the only one who can bring us to God. There aren't other ways to God. To go through Christ is the only one. Christ is the all in all. When we have him, then we have everything. There's no need to go any further. Yes, we go deeper in Jesus. Yes, we are challenged in our lives, but we have everything. He is our all-sufficiency. He is concerned with our natural environment and calls us to look after his creation. And he calls us to be aware of the deeper level in which the Spirit works. So Jesus is the full expression of God's love. Repeatedly people tell me, I love Jesus, but I really can't cope with the God of the Old Testament. Well, read your Old Testament in the light of what Jesus did, how Jesus expressed who God is. God loves you. God sent his only Son to die for you. Love God, love people, love creation. Amen. We're going to have a song now, but I think if we sing it whilst we're seated, because I want it to be a reflective song, and then we're going to go into a couple of minutes.